Yud Ches Ior Lag BaOmer, Sunday the 28th of April, Rabbi Zev Lef, Lag BaOmer. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by Ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Ephraim Fishel, Ben Rabbi Yoel Aryeh, Zecher Livrocho.
We are in the midst of preparing for Kabbalah Satorah, Sfiras HaOmer, and really difficult to understand what exactly we're preparing. If you have a course that you're going to take and you get orientation to prepare for the course, they usually give you the book to leaf through, or they give you a syllabus of the course, a summary of the course, and you look through it and you prepare for the course. But if you don't have the textbook and you don't have a summary and you have no idea what the text is, how in the world can you prepare? What were Klal Yisrael preparing? They didn't know what the Torah was. How can you prepare for something you don't know what it is? And I can prove to you they didn't know what it was, because Chazal say that we had a special mile of Nasa and Ishma. If we knew what the Torah was, there's no mile of Nasa and Ishma. We knew what it was. So we didn't accept it blindly. And secondly, till today, for some even after today, we are mourning for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. There are other tzaras that happened around that same time, and we don't mourn for them. Yanai HaMelech killed out all the Talmidei Chacham of his generation, except for Shimon ben Shetach. And we don't know when it happened, we don't mourn for them. These were the Gedolei Yisrael who were killed out. In Hordus HaMelech killed out all the Gedolim of his time, except for Bava ben Buta. And we don't mourn for them. We don't even know when it happened. And for Talmidim, not the Rabbonim, the Talmidim, for 24,000, for them we mourn 33 days. Why? The Chazal say, someone tells you, Chochma Bagoyim Tamin. Somebody tells you that there's Chochma by Umos HaOlam, believe them. Torah Bagoyim Al Tamin. But if somebody tells you Torah doesn't exist by the nations of the world, don't believe them. It can't mean that a goy is impossible to learn Torah, because a nuclear physicist could make headway in an art scroll chumash, I'm sure. It also can't mean that goyim are not allowed to learn Torah, so therefore if somebody tells you a goy does what he's not allowed to do, don't believe him, because goyim do plenty of things they're not allowed to do. So that can't be what it means either. What I think it means is the following. Bertram Russell was a professor of ethics in City College in the 1940s in New York. And during that time of his life, he was very unethical. He was an avowed communist, and he was an immoral person. So the ethics committee of the college called him in, and they said, Professor Russell, we have a problem with you. You teach ethics in our institution, and you're not ethical. He said, what's the problem? So 20 years ago, I taught mathematics in a college in England. I taught geometry. Not once did the ethics committee of that college call me in and say, Professor Russell, we have a problem with you. You teach geometry in our institution, and you're not a square, a circle, or a parallelogram. I don't have to be what I teach. I don't have to be a plane to teach geometry. I don't have to be ethical to teach ethics. I just teach the subject. That's Chochma. Chochma is something you possess. You can do what you want with it. No strings attached. You make a bracha. And a Chochma mechachma yumos ha'olam. Ha'nosein asher nosan mechachmosol the boser v'adam. The Rabban Hashem gave Chochma to human beings, to flesh and blood. You remain flesh and blood. The Rabban Hashem gives it away. No strings attached. That doesn't mean it can't make an impression on your personality. There are many fine goyim who their chachma did make an impression on them. But it didn't have to. You can be a nuclear physicist who is a bum. And the fact that you're a bum does not detract from your chachma, and your chachma doesn't add one bit to your personality. That's what chachma is. Torah is not like that. Torah, the Gemara says in Erevin, Divrei Torah nimsholim ke'esh. Ma'esh osaroshim af Torah osaroshim. Fire makes an impression, Torah has to make an impression. Torah is, its word represents, Torah. teaching, showing. If it doesn't teach you and show you and it doesn't make an impression on you, it doesn't change your personality, then it's not Torah. And therefore, the bracha we make on a chacham, michachmei Torah is a different bracha. Asher cholak mechachmoso liyareyov. It's only given liyareyov. And the Rabban Shem doesn't give it away. Asher cholak, he apportions it out. He comes with it. Ay lo aleinu. There are people who learn Torah and Lechora doesn't make an impression on them. So how could that be? The answer is, there's something called stage fire. Looks like fire, smells like fire, sounds like fire, but it's not real fire. How do I know? It doesn't burn anything. It's just fake fire. Fire that doesn't make an impression on the person is not real fire. It's stage fire. Looks like fire, may sound like fire, smells like fire, but it's not real fire. It remains chokhmah. By a person who the Torah does not make an impression on, then he didn't learn Torah. He learned something that looks like Torah, sounds like Torah, smells like Torah, but it remains chokhmah. So therefore, during Sfiras HaOmer, they were not preparing the body of knowledge called Torah. That wasn't the preparation. That they didn't know what it was. But they had to prepare themselves to be the kind of people that the Torah could make an impression on. They shouldn't be asbestos when Matan Torah comes, and the Torah, the Eish HaTorah, shouldn't be able to make an impression on them. So therefore they were preparing themselves to be the kind of people that Torah can make an impression. What is the preparation? So how do you prepare yourself to be the kind of person that Torah can make an impression on? So that Chazal are very clear what that preparation is. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Before you can get the Torah, you have to have Derech Eretz. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "An ein Derech Eretz, ein Torah." Without Derech Eretz, there's no Torah. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says on that Mishnah, "Lo Yishkon HaTorah LaOlam B'Mishein Bo Midos Tovos." Torah can never reside by somebody who doesn't have Midos Tovos. There's only one problem. We see that's not true. Unfortunately, there are people without Midos Tovos who have Torah too. So how could the Rabbeinu Yonah said, "Lo Yishkon HaTorah LaOlam"? He should have said, most of the time you can't have Torah without Midos Tovos. But there's exceptions. But he says, no, categorically, "Lo Yishkon HaTorah LaOlam." So what do you mean? In order to understand what the Rabbeinu Yonah meant, let's start with another question. Reb Simcha Zissel, the Alter from Kelim, made the following observation. He said that Charles Darwin, proposed the theory of evolution, that human beings evolved from apes because he never saw a real human being. So he assumed that the animals that he was friendly with came from apes. Had he ever seen a real human being like my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he never would have made that theory. It's impossible to believe Rabbi Yisrael Salanter came from an ape. That's what he said. Very cute. But is it true? Do you think that Charles Darwin was somebody who swung from the trees, munching on a turkey leg and guzzling beer? Right? He was a very respectable, refined person. And his circle of friends were respectable and refined people. How could Reb Simcha Zissel say he never saw a real human being? So I'll tell you what I think he meant. There's a famous story that's said about three Gedolei Yisrael, about the Rambam, the Maral, and Rabbi Yonasan Apeshitz, which lends me to believe that it never happened to anybody. That's a nice story. And it's only a story. It's not a chazal. It's a story. So a story is a story. What was a story? The Rambam had a debate with a philosopher. The philosopher said, "You can train an animal to go against its instincts." And the Rambam said, "You can't." So the philosopher said, "I'll prove to you, you can. Give me 10 cats, I'll train them to go against their instincts." So he took the 10 cats. A few months later, he calls the Rambam, "I want to invite you to a banquet where I'll prove to you that I've trained these cats to go against their instincts." No, so the Rambam comes to the dinner with a little box, and the philosopher comes with a little box. Beginning of the meal, the philosopher takes a bell out of his little box and rings it, and 10 cats come out of the kitchen dressed as waiters and waitresses, standing on their hind legs perfectly like human beings, balancing a tray on their right arm with a towel wrapped around their left arm, and they serve the entree. The philosopher turns to the Rambam. He says, you see, I've trained these cats to go against their instincts. The Rambam says, fine, it's a long meal. Let's see what happens. No, he rings his bell again. They come and serve the main course. Finally, it's time for dessert. The philosopher rings his bell, and the Rambam takes his box out, opens it up, and puts it on the floor. Within minutes, there's pandemonium in the hall. The trays are being thrown around, the dishes broken, and the cats are down on all four chasing the mice that the Rambam let loose. The Rambam turns to the philosopher, and he says, you can train a cat to think he's a waiter all you want, but let the first mouse go by, and he remembers he's a cat. You can't change the instincts of an animal. That's what an animal is. An animal is a behemoth. The Maharal says, behemoth is bo ma. Whatever it is, it's programmed. Whatever it is, shor ben yomo kori shor. A shor, when it's born, is a shor. When it dies, the same shor. Doesn't change. It's programmed. But human beings are different. Human beings, we also have instincts. But we can control them. We can change them. Right? Adam in gematria is ma. You always have to ask what he is, where he is. He's always changing. We can control our instincts and change them. And that's what it says, Umosar ha'adam in a behema, ayin. The difference between a human being and an animal is ayin. A human being can say no. An animal can't say no. He sees something he likes, he doesn't start making cheshbonos, do I want to be flay-shaped? Maybe there's something better to eat, I don't want to fill my stomach up now, right, this is going to give me a stomach ache. He just eats. But a human being can make all those cheshbonos, and in the end come out and say, no, not going to eat this. So a human being can be in total control of his instincts, his drives, an animal can't. That is the qualitative difference between a human being and an animal. Memela, Psilcha Zissel said, Darwin saw very, very respectable, refined people. But they were no different than respectable and refined animals who you train to act okay. They never worked on their midos that they were in total control. And they were fine until the first mouse goes by. And mice have many, many appearances. For some people, a mouse is money. For some people, a mouse is a different typhus. And as soon as that mouse appears, if they haven't worked on themselves and are in total control of their midos, then they'll get down on all four and chase after the mouse. So Darwin saw very refined, respectable people, but not different than trained cats who can act also like waiters. But let the first mouse go by, they're finished. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a real human being, in total control, worked on his midos. No mouse in the world could get him down on all four. That's a totally different kind than an animal. Darwin saw people who were in degree greater than animals, but not different. Trained animals. You can have a trained human being too. But he never saw someone who is in kind different than an animal, in total control, which an animal can't be. And therefore he assumed that in degree, this animal could come from another animal. But in kind, that a human being totally different than the animal could come from an animal, that he would never made such a theory. And that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. Lo yishkon ha-Torah la'olam v'misha ein bo midos tovos. We have to read it differently. It doesn't mean that the Torah never can exist by somebody who doesn't have midos tovos. It means it can't exist forever. Meaning, it can exist temporarily. Till when? Till the first mouse goes by. Someone who doesn't have midos tovos can look refined and and just like a trained animal. Until the first mouse goes by and then he's finished. But a person who has midos tovos, midos means you're in control, then the no mouse in the world can put you down, then the Torah can exist forever, not only temporarily. Like somebody else can only exist temporarily and not forever. And that is the purpose of Torah. The purpose of Torah is to become part of the person himself. The Gemara says in Makkos, Kamatipshoi Sharinshi, how foolish people are. The Kami Mikmi Sefer Torah Velo Kami Mikmi Gavra Rabba. They stand up for a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. The Sefer Torah is dead parchment with dead ink. It's locked up in an Aron Kodesh. Doesn't do anything for anybody except when you take it out to read it. And the purpose of that Sefer Torah is that people should learn it and become living Sefer Torah. So people stand up for the dead Sefer Torah, not for the living Sefer Torah. Tipshus. And that's one of the reasons why the Torah was given mostly Torah Shebaalpeh. Because if the Torah was given written, you could take the Torah, curl up in bed with a book, and get information, and think you have Torah. But this way, you can't do that. You have to learn Torah from a living example. And Dom Harav, the Malach Hashem, Tzvoko, Shivakish Torah Mipiyu. If the Rav represents the Torah, he's a living Sefer Torah, you can learn from him. So you know that you have to learn from somebody who embodies the Torah. You can't learn from a book. You can't just get knowledge. Torah is not information. It's transformation. It transforms you to somebody else. And that's what Rabbi Akiva said to his Talmidim, V'yohavta re'acha kamocha zeklal gogol b'Torah. How can you love somebody else, mamish, like yourself? So one idea is that you love about the person that he has a potential to be a living Sefer Torah. Every Jew and Jewess has the potential within them to be a living Sefer Torah. So I love that living Sefer Torah within you. And it doesn't make a difference if it's my Sefer Torah or your Sefer Torah. It's a Sefer Torah that's precious. So therefore it's kamocha. Doesn't make a difference. That's what you love about another person. And that is the hachana of Sfiras HaOmer. The hachana of Sfiras HaOmer is not preparing the information of Torah. They had no idea what the information was. The hachana of Sfiras HaTorah is preparing ourselves that we should be the kind of material that the Eish HaTorah, the fire of Torah, can make an impression on us. And we can become living Sefer Torah when we finally get the Torah. Because if we don't work on our midos and we don't work on derech eretz, then when Torah comes to be given, we're going to be asbestos. We're not going to be the kind of people that the Torah can make a roshim on. And we'll never have Torah. We'll just have chochma. We'll have kabbalah sachochma, but not kabbalah satorah. And therefore, the mourning for Talmidei Rabbi Akiva is not the mourning the tzora. Tzoras we mourn on Tisha B'Av. All the tzoras of history are contained on Tisha B'Av. The mourning of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva is a chizuk in Sfiras HaOmer. Why? During this time, Sfiras HaOmer, which teaches me that you don't prepare the knowledge of Torah, but you prepare yourself to become a living Sefer Torah. And Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva taught them the Ohavta Re'acha Kamocha, that every person is a potential living Sefer Torah. And they were supposed to be the Mosrim, the transmitters of Torah Shebaalpeh. Torah Shebaalpeh teaches me that you have to learn from a living Sefer Torah. Torah is not just knowledge. And all of those things together, during Sfiras HaOmer, Lo Noagu Kovet Zebezeh, there was something missing in their understanding that each and every one is a living Sefer Torah. It doesn't say, Noagu Shalom B'Kovet, Chas V'Shalom. They didn't treat each other with disrespect. They respected each other, but not with the respect due to a living Sefer Torah. Lo Noagu Kovet, not Noagu Shalom B'Kovet. That they missed. And if they didn't understand that Torah makes you a living Sefer Torah, they couldn't be the transmitters of Torah Shebaalpeh, so they have to die. But by mourning for them, what they couldn't accomplish and teach in their lifetime, they're teaching us now through their death. That's the Ilui Nisham of them. And that's a chizuk in Sfiras HaOmer. When does that lesson become clear that the Torah has to become part of you? On Lag BaOmer. How so? It's an interesting marsha. The marsha says like this, that the Gemara says in Moikotin that Rov Shnosov Shel Adam is 52 years. When a person reaches 52, so that's the lifespan of Shmuel HaNavi, then Avru Lov Shnosov, and you can assume that he's going to, if he was good till then, he'll be good after that. It's already part of him. Says the Marsha, what's 52 years Rov Shnosov? Where do we ever find a lifespan 103 years, so 52 is Rov Shnosov? 120 years, 70 or something, but not 100. Says the Marsha like this. The lifespan, the Torah life says 70 years. The first 20 don't count. Till you're 20, you're not really a mensch, that's bebezen shalmala, you're not nidon. So the first 20 years don't count. After that, you have 50 years. Of those 50 years, he says two-thirds is called rov. You need a rov of two-thirds. You split it into three parts. So when do you become, what's it called, in the 33rd year, after 32 years? Because each part is 16 and a fraction, 16 and a fraction, 16 and a fraction. So if you add the 32 to the original 20, you have 52 years. When 52 years pass, that's when Rove Shnosov Shel Adam. He says the same thing goes by Yetzias Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim, what's it called? The world was created on the 25th day of Adar, if you hold the world was created in Nisan. Because Adam HaRishon was created Rosh Chodesh Nisan. 6 days earlier was the 25th day of Adar. From the 25th day of Adar till the 15th day of Nisan is 20 days. Those don't count. When do you start counting? The next day. Then you count 49 days and 50, just like the life of a person. When is two-thirds of that time over? By Lag BaOmer, by the 33rd. That's when it becomes part of you. That's when, just like Rov Shnosov Shel Adam. So on the 33rd day of the Omer, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva understood that it has to be part of you. That's when they stopped dying. When it became clear. And that's why the thing that we do on Lag BaOmer is make bonfires. Because Divrei Torah Nimsholim Ke'esh. Torah is like fire. It has to make an impression. That's the day that you understand that the Torah is not just something you have in the gray matter of your brain. It has to be something that permeates your entire being. Ma Torah, ma Divrei Torah Nimsholim Ke'esh, ma Esh Osaroshim, Av Torah Osaroshim. That is one idea of why Lag BaOmer is a simcha. It's a day that we understand that the preparation for Torah is not we're preparing the knowledge of Torah. Preparing ourselves that the Torah should become part of us. Kivin Sha'avru Rosh Shnosov Shel Adam, Muftachlo, that he'll already be on the right path. That's the Inyan of Lag BaOmer, that's the Inyan also of the Eish of Lag BaOmer, to remind us that Torah, just like Eish, has to make a roshim, has to make an impression on a person.